on with where we were last week, and we're discussing a subject. So we'll wait till we get the pulpit put up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you want to turn there, please. If you remember last week, and if you weren't here, I'd just sort of go back and give you a couple notes here to remember. We ask ourselves a question that people ask me a lot. Is that right to do that? Should I do this? Is it right to do this thing? So we laid out four principles last week out of a whole page of principles we're going to cover the next week or two. And the first principle is, what would Jesus do if he were facing that? And so we have the little wristbands that people ought to wear. What would WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so you just try to think, could Jesus do that? The first time I was confronted with that, I was maybe about 15 years old. My pastor was preaching on a Sunday night, and he was talking about whether or not a Christian should dance. And he said, can you imagine Jesus putting his arm around a girl, feeling all up and down and jiggling his body with her? And the answer was pretty obvious. Some of you aren't so sure. I am sure he wouldn't be doing it. Now, if he was married to that person, that's a different thing. They want to do something. And my pastor remember talking about that. Husband and wives hug each other and do all kinds of fun things together. But they don't before they're married. And so I very definitely think dancing's wrong for you teenagers and for unmarried people to be involved in. It's a very, do I have to go any further? So that was one of the first times that I started taking that question. What would Jesus do? Can you imagine Jesus, you know, lighting up and doing a marijuana cigarette and passing around? You know, just, you know, would Jesus do it? And we covered some things underneath that. Is it inherently evil? Would it bring glory to God? And those kind of questions. Number two, is there a clear scripture that says yes, no? Then why are you debating it after that? Once the Lord says no, then we ask ourselves, what part of no don't you understand, right? So there are a lot of things God says don't do. Don't lie, don't bear false witness, you know, don't covet. I mean, there's a lot of things, and we can apply across the board. Number three, we said, am I just being a little bit naive here and realize there's a lot of baggage in the thing that I'm doing, and I'm just sort of signing up for something that puts me where I shouldn't be, doing what I shouldn't do at the wrong time, hanging around the wrong people. Am I being naive? And sometimes you just have to step back and say, you know what? I need to, like, I grew up on the farm, you know, and I ran around with people sometimes that were from the city. They weren't naive. I was. And you had to grow up and just not be naive and get your eyes open to life and evil and that kind of stuff. So we discussed that and looked at scriptures. Then number four, we said, is there a satanic origin in the matter? And things like Ouija boards and tarot cards and reading the palms, and where I grew up, there was the phrenology and crystals and all that kind of stuff. These things have definite wrong origins. They come from a wrong thing. And we looked in the book of Deuteronomy how the Lord said that we're not to do things like magic. And we sort of ended, sort of poked at the teenagers a little bit. Look at the games that you're playing. The game may be perfectly one of skill, but it's based around a very satanic theme. And you're just not wise to pull down the association and the mindset of thinking of it in satanic power. And so I don't think game has satanic power. Just don't be naive. That'd go back to number three. And so if it has a satanic origin to it, and it seems to come out of that aura, I don't celebrate Halloween. That's just comes from that whole realm of ghosts and witches. So in that sense, to me, that makes it a no-brainer. I just don't do it once I think about it. And so those are four questions that we've covered. Tonight, we're covering 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And let's look at that verse together. Would you read it with me, please, out loud? Try to stay together. Remember, we pause at the commas, little bigger pauses at the periods or question marks, and try to read out the meaning. You ready? 1 Corinthians 6, 19, go. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Know ye not that your body is the temple? Your body's a church. And so our fifth question tonight, actually 5, 6, and 7 all start with the first part of the question. Will it harm? So number 5, will it harm my body? Will it harm my body? And so your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I've often thought about this in relationship. When I was a boy, our church was one of those old-fashioned country churches, big old white steeple. They hadn't locked the front door in 100 years. Matter of fact, they had one of these big skeleton keys. This key was this big. They kept it in a box. It was more like an honorary thing. And once every 2 or 3 years, they would oil the lock to make sure it worked, you know. But it was sort of in the era where they left churches open. If you wanted to come in the parking lot, walk in and pray, you could. That's sort of foreign to our mind anymore, isn't it? That Westside Baptist would be open all night. You could sleep in the back row. Nobody would touch the church. I mean, that just sort of blows us away to think that, doesn't it? But that's the way it was 50 years ago or more in a lot of countries, not just the United States. Well, anyhow, some boys came down that were down for the summer. They were from New York City. They came down. We were a recreation area. They got out in the country, saw this little church, and they decided to just graffiti it inside, took the hymn books, and I mean, they went at it, and they messed up the pews, and I mean, it was just a real mess. It really broke the heart of our people to think that some boys would do that. But it happens. We all know that. It happens. And he said, why, if you're going to go do it, of all places, why would you choose a church? Isn't that what you think? When I was in Indiana, our church, First Baptist of Warsaw, was right downtown. And on Saturday night, they used to have, this was the big thing to do, guys. You got your car, it was Friday or Saturday night, about 8:30, you drove this little thing about 20 miles an hour, 15 miles, it just drove up and down Main Street, up and down First Street, up and down, beeping the horn, going to McDonald's, woo, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you know, showing your car off. But after the normal people go home, about midnight, 1 o'clock, the sort of the hoodlums would stay out. And they would come down to our church, and we had 2 buses and 2 vans, and sometimes we'd come and see our windshield wipers busted off, or we'd see eggs smashed on things, or beer bottles broke against the back of things. And since I and another person were there early, it was our job to sort of fix up and clean up, you know, before the church people got there. Stephen, be glad we don't have that happening here yet. You know, that happens this Sunday. We know it was you, Mr. Nacho. Okay. So, but the question would come, why would they do that to the church, right? So I ask you, why would you do that to the temple of God? I mean, we could apply it to the hoodlums, right? But why would we be a hoodlum to God's body? And so we know there are some things that hurt the body of God. I know drinking doesn't do my body a lot of good. I know smoking, I know drug taking. There's a lot of things like that that just clearly they're not at all good for you and that we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't even begin those. I was listening on a radio and they were talking about there's something like 20 million people smoke cigarettes in the United States, and this guy was just going through and talking about the expense both of the cigarettes to begin with, the missed work second of all, and then the health problems as they get older. And it was in the billions of dollars, and how many people die. They lose X number of years off the last end of their life and the quality of their life. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to know some stuff isn't good for this body. Why do we even start it? Why do we let that get a hold of our lives? And we could go on with lots of other things, lifestyles that are not healthy, sexual promiscuity. There's a lot of reasons why that isn't right. But look at the AIDS epidemic. Look at all the syphilis and gonorrhea and everything else goes around, and it's by the millions and millions of people that their lives end very painfully. And very, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we wouldn't do anything that would hurt it. once again, when I was a younger pastor, I preached a lot to teenagers, so bear some of these illustrations on my mind. There was probably 15, 20 years ago, a thing that came along, and you'd see it in the back of a lot of cars on younger teenagers getting their license, getting their first truck and car, and it would say, "No fear." And the whole idea of that no fear is, how close can you go to the edge of stupidity and not die? I mean, you drive as fast as you could to the edge of the cliff as you could. I mean, you just do the extreme fear was another thing you saw out there. There was a guy going on about 10, 12 years ago where teenagers at lunches would choke each other purposely until they passed out. And then every once in a while, one would die. I mean, just to show how, why would you do that? We had a boy in our youth group 25 years ago that he's just a silly, foolish junior higher, and he got eating metal. Some of the guys at lunch, you know, you poke the little Coke tab and sometimes go down in the thing. And so one fell out, went in his mouth, and they said, swallow it. So he did. Somebody else handed him one. They said, for a dollar, swallow it. So he did. And he started eating metal. Can you believe this? You know? But then he began to brag about how much metal he probably had inside his stomach. And guess where he ended up? Yeah, how did you know? Okay, those kind of things are just not wise. There was a little time where some of the teenagers, maybe 10 years ago, would get out on a road like Clay Road, two lanes. Now I guess that's four, but two lanes. Had little stripes down the middle, two yellow going each way. Technically, that little, 1 inch between the two yellow stripes, nobody's supposed to drive on. So they would walk down the middle of the road saying that's where they were, and they'd go 10, 15 in a file just to show how brave they were. You know, that's the cool thing to do. Well, you started seeing kids getting picked off, hooked on a bumper, killed. Christians have no business putting their body that belongs to God in stupid risk way. Now, I know that you could say, well, pastor, then don't get out of bed in the morning, all right? I mean, get up, life is a risk, right? But there's a difference, and I think if we're being honest with ourselves as Christians, there's a difference between this foolishness I've just talked about and then you have to face life for reality. And life is challenging. But should I do? Sometimes the simple question is, will this hurt what does not belong to me where God dwells? And we need to work on that. Do I dare just put my toe over on one thing? We need to work on what we eat and don't eat. And sometimes we realize there are things that we shouldn't eat, we keep eating, and we know it's harming God's body. We need to ask ourselves, God, help me to learn to eat better, and things like that. Will it harm my body? We would ask ourselves that question. Be honest with yourself. I mean, cigarettes, it's used to at least say on the side of the package, it says, warning from the Surgeon General, cigarette, they used to say, may harm your body. Now I think it says, will harm your body, will cause lung cancer, that kind of stuff. And yet I light up one of those coffin nails and I just pound it right into my flesh. Be careful. Cigarettes is just easy to name, isn't it? But there's a lot of other things like that that are very clearly just wrong. And when we realize it, it's going to hurt this body. We ought to ask God to help us make off limits. Don't go down that road. I don't care how many people are doing it. I'll give you one last illustration. Years ago, when they were first starting to do the learning centers with computers, there was a group up, I believe it was in Chicago, and it was an honor type situation where there's like 25 or 30 kids all sitting, having their own cubicle with their own little monitor and cubicle, and they came in, and one of the monitors was having a problem. Teacher was sort of out in the other room, and the boy reached down to see if it was the plug, and indeed, it was the plug, and it went, psh! And, you know, you could just see some teenagers going, "Whoo, that's cool, do it again." They saw like electric, you know, shock go out. So the boy did it again. They said, "Do it again." And next thing you know, he electrocuted himself by accident. It's amazing what we will do under everybody else's doing it. We've got to be careful. I know these last illustrations maybe are a little more tilted toward the idea of a teenager, but you know, adults, we have the same thing. Places we shouldn't go and things we shouldn't be doing in our life. And it will harm my mind or my body. Let's put our mind in there. Maybe you can't control having a computer without a lot of guarded access because it's going to control and harm my mind. Can we say amen? I think that was a big wake-up for me 25 years ago as my children got older. I was so excited. They liked computers. They're all going to be brilliant. And I realized they weren't always on the computer like doing homework, and they were doing other things. That was a big, big wake-up. But then I realized there are a lot of adults doing it too. It's a big temptation, and there isn't a single person here that doesn't understand exactly what I'm talking about. We've got to be careful. Is this activity one that I can't control? If I keep going down this road, it's going to harm my body or my mind, or could we say even soul? It would really do me damage. Those belong to God. Amen? So have the courage to say no. Even if everybody else at the church, others have more freedom to do it. You say, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right, let's go look at our next question. Look at Romans chapter 14. Once again, this starts in, will it harm? Romans 14. Look at verse 16. Let not your good be evil spoken against. Let not your good be evil spoken against. Turn to 2 Peter. Keep that in mind. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 8. For that righteous man, go back to verse 7, who was that? And delivered just Lot. This verse I refer to in messages from time to time. Verse 7 tells us that he is just Lot. Not just the idea, oh, he's just Lot. This is a man that's justified, which means he's what? So here's a saved man, okay? And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed is an old English word. That means these things really tore him up. These things were really, he wasn't comfortable what was going on, but yet he was making money, right? And that's why he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 7, 8. For that righteous man, see the designation of him? For that righteous man, Lot, dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Keep your finger there because we're definitely going to come back, but I want to just stop and lay the point down. Will it harm my testimony? Will it harm my testimony? Let not your good be evil spoken of. Lot was definitely, we would say, a Christian. And maybe even Lot bore that name. We don't know that he denied the Lord outwardly, but he laid his treasures, or I started to say, he put his lot in with, all the unrighteous people, even though inside it made him feel like a pig. He said, this just detests me, but I sure like their money. I'm getting more cows. I'm getting bigger houses. I got more gold. This makes me sick. He vexed his righteous soul. And could I say, Christian, we've got to be careful that when we hook ourselves up with the unrighteous, we become part of them. When I was in freshman English, one of the first vocabulary words I remember on the list was the word tacit. T-A-C-T-I-C. I'd never heard that word before. He said that he gave tacit consent. And the word tacit means unspoken consent, unspoken, it's okay. I didn't say it was okay, but my inaction by speaking against it or my sitting with them identified, my actions spoke louder than my not speaking. I gave tacit consent. we as Christians need to be careful that what we hook up, this activity that I'm going to, it will harm my testimony. I heard that as a young teenager. I knew it was right. When I was a senior, being in a public school, we had a tradition. I don't know if they still have it in schools around. It was called senior skip days. Don't you guys be listening. Okay. I shouldn't even brought this up, should I? Okay. But the seniors would all get together. They get permission secretly behind the back from the principal. And they would just sort of skip a day somewhere in the spring, and they all go somewhere. It was just a big fun day. So we found a place, and we talked about it secretly. There's 70-some in my class, and we had a farm where they had a big orchard, and they had it all set up. We were going to have a big bonfire, and we're all going to meet out there about 10:30, 11 o'clock, spend the day, you know, playing volleyball, all kinds of stuff, barbecue, have a good day together. And we all agreed it was going to be all above board. We even had some sponsors there among people, and there was three or four of us that were in the youth group at my church together that were in my senior class. So we rode together on skip day. And as we got to the farm and we started to park, the car next to us had been there maybe like 4 minutes ahead of us, and they already had the trunk open, they're getting out and everything, and out was coming, where I'm from, you have Geneseo beer. And just like Lone Star, Geneseo beer. And they're just coming out by the packet loads. And we'd agreed. There was nothing like that was going to be tolerated. And I can remember, I've always been bold in that sense. I said, hey, guys, we agreed that wasn't good. And they said, we don't care. And then they turned up, they opened their doors and opened up the rock music. And that was just after the days of the Beatles. I mean, it was all that kind of stuff going on. It's like our own little... Thank you. You're showing your age. Okay. And that was in New York, too, by the way. Okay. And so we said, you know, we looked around among each other, us teenagers from the youth group, we said, we can't be a part of this. And so we got back in the car, except for one girl. And she got back out and she said, I can stay in this, and I'm not going to dance, and I'm not going to listen to the music, and I'm not going to drink. But she lost her reputation that day. I don't think she lost anything else. I don't think she crossed any huge lines. I really don't. But I do know that she got a huge question mark over her testimony that day. You know, it wasn't a surprise that summer there was another boy in that same senior class that she started to date for a little while. And fortunately, it broke up and she went off to Bible college. I'm glad she did. But that boy was a Jehovah's Witness. But she just liked him. And here she's crossing lines, and she's putting herself in danger. Her testimony just was wiped out. Christians, be careful that what you're doing will not harm your testimony, will not make it so people say, what are you doing with that person? Why are you working for that person? I know this may not be as clear-cut to you, but it was for me and my children when we were younger. There were a lot of grocery stores my kids could not work at because they wanted them to stock beer. And I told my children, you can't sell it across the counter, you can't put it on the shelf, you're not going to put it in your hands on. And I believe in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, if you enable somebody else towards liquor, that you will have a part of what they do, whatever happens in their life. And we can't see the pastor's son and daughters, especially selling Lone Star across the way. I mean, and it shouldn't be that way if you weren't a pastor's son or daughter. These things sometimes get a little murky for us, don't they? And we've got to be a little careful. Will this thing, my association with it, put in part on my testimony of who I am? So I said we'd continue in 1 Peter. Look again in chapter 2. Look at verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and how to receive the unjust unto the day of judgment. Look at verse 12. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And you notice that this group here, they don't understand what's right. But here's the point. You do. the world will say, oh, come on, get over it. Don't be so high and mighty. But you know better. And you know it's going to put a stamp on who you are. You are not a natural brute beast. That's an unsaved person's conscience. We're a redeemed, saved sheep nature. And we need to cultivate that nature and not associate with the brute beasts. Running with crowds and all that kind of stuff can definitely... Look on in verse 20, please. It goes on, it talks about in verse 13 how that they sport themselves with riotous living. Verse 14, they have eyes full of adultery, they can't cease from sin, etc. Look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Savior, they are again entangled therein. Okay. That would be us. We were delivered from this. But now we are again entangling ourselves knowingly. We are not wise. Let me give you a couple scenarios that don't have to do with teenagers. Adult, especially men, getting saved out of drinking and partying and all that kind of a hard, nasty life. And you're glad to be delivered, amen? I mean, good, it's gone. Some old friends say, come on over for a barbecue. And maybe you don't think about what they consider a barbecue is more like a beer bust, right? Come on. Yeah, that's what a lot of the old ones say. Just an excuse to drink all weekend. So you get over there and you're thinking, you know, pork ribs or something, you know, it's all going to be neat, you know. And you get over there and it's all about the old lifestyle. Well, maybe you ought to make your excuses and leave, or at best, I can't ever go back to this again. First of all, it isn't going to be long till your old nature is more tempted than you ever dreamed. I've heard that story from people more than you'd ever dream. Good people, long delivered, put themselves back in harm's way. And not only that, the tacit idea. People say, you didn't say anything, and you watched me drink, and you were right there with me. You never said a word. See, we're to be reproving, not approving, of people's garbage and sin in their life. All right, we'll go to the third will it harm real quickly. Turn to Romans 14. So will it harm your body? Will it harm your testimony? If I'm associating and doing this thing, will it splash up on my clean, clear testimony? Romans 14. Look at verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou uncharitably, not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom the Lord Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So what is the principle here? Will it harm my fellow weaker Christian's conscience? This one is sometimes one of the harder things. You say, I don't see anything particularly that awful about this thing, but there are people that are watching you, and they say, how could you do that? You say, I don't care. I'm under liberty and under grace, and I'm just going to assert my rights of grace. How could you walk so uncharitably? And we'll just look at a couple more verses in the same passage because he unfolds. Look at verse 21. It is good, we say it's right, neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother, what's the next word? Stumbles or is offended or is made weak. There's 3 points. My actions that I'm going to do in my liberty, can I do that? Under liberty and grace, I think I can. But there are some people watching me that they say you can't, and they're pretty convinced. Out of charity, and can I give you a word you might want to write in your notes? Forbearance. Out of charity and forbearance, don't cause them to knowingly stumble at your liberty. I could give you some illustrations of this. When I came from the north down to the south, there are things in the south that are really things that you don't do up north. And there are things up north that we do that down south, Christians would say, "You what?" And I sort of had to really stop in some of those things I had to deal with in my heart. And I actually found some of my convictions change as I grew into some of these things. Let me give you two examples, and don't take liberty by my struggle to get to the right place. When I grew up, a man that went to the pool hall of any kind was going to go down and get drunk and smoke and big old cigars, and it was the nasty place that men went. And then I came down and went to a church in Houston, and all the teenagers and the men went down and played pool together after church. And I went, the whole world just went like this on me, you know? I just, what's going on? Well, I don't expect a whole church to change for me. I had to realize the way they were doing it, there was a context that was different. But if it had been the other way around, and I had moved from Houston up to that area, I wouldn't install a pool table in my basement and invite the whole church out, offending everybody, out of love and forbearance. Now, that might change over a period of time. Some of these things aren't like super black and white. But they are black and white that it's really offending a good number of people, and they can't understand why I'm so liberal and backslidden. And you understand what I'm talking about? When I came south, one of the things, our Christian camp did a lot of mixed swimming together. As long as the suits were fairly modest, we all just swam together. I'd never even consider it to be wrong. But I came south, and my father-in-law, Dr. Hodges, straightened me out on that pretty quick. And I wasn't so sure. I didn't really stop and think about it. And different forms of clothing, I wasn't sure exactly. But I did know this, that our kids were going to be going to Dr. Hodges Christian School. We were going to do a lot of youth activities together. We were going to have a lot of fellowship together. And I wasn't going to have somebody throw the standards of our church against Dr. Hodges' church. And so we went to the highest common denominator in my conscience out of forbearance. And guess what? I found myself growing to Dr. Hodges' standard, and he was more right than I just hadn't been taught, and I had to grow into that area. It's interesting, in the area that I'm talking about, we all want to take the lowest common denominator. I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, I don't want to offend a weak conscience or an untaught conscience and somebody who says, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, we all know there's always somebody that's never happy with anything. I'm not talking about that. But we know if we're flying in the face of hurting people in general, and I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyhow. In that case, you better be careful. So will it hurt another person or groups of people, then out of love and charity, I ought to step back and not do that thing. I would say of all the stuff that we've looked at, this might be the hardest for you to do. And you're good. How many people think you probably move around before you die? You'll be in another city or something. I mean, we're all, and you're going to find, you probably found convictions from different parts of the country are amazing. You don't have to voice what they are, but you don't go and prove a point. You try to be a blessing rather than a liberty soul, you know, that kind of stuff. In the long run, the Lord doesn't get the glory, the devil does. And your testimony gets hurt. And it gets confusion. So remember, always take the highest common denominator. Boy, I've been teaching math. You can tell that again. Always take the highest of the standards that you can. When I came to Houston many years ago, for the first 10 years, I worked together with about four or five other churches having youth rallies. I was the youth rally coordinator. And we would meet at different churches, and about seven, eight times during the year, we'd meet at different churches. And we agreed as a group of pastors that we might have some differences on exactly how we applied this music standard, that dress standard, whatever. We all agreed in general, but maybe where the lines were. But we all agreed that the right thing was to take the highest not the lowest, out of love and charity for each other's church. And I tell you what, over the years, every once in a while, there would be a pastor. I'd go to his church, and we'd set up the rally, and that pastor would insert some lower common denominator things into the program. It always caused division rather than unity. And I know that wasn't of the Lord. That just wasn't of the Lord, even though what they did wasn't the most horrible thing, and maybe even to them it was sincere. It wasn't charitable. It wasn't kind. It wasn't profitable. It didn't edify. And this is what he's teaching in Romans and over in 2 Corinthians. He says, make sure what you do will not harm a weaker, unstable, untaught, newer Christian, or some church you've moved into. Don't just try to prove a point. Try to do what's right by the whole. And I hope these things are giving you some idea, because some of these things are not quite so black and white. Would you agree? But where is our goal? To take the highest or the lowest stand? The highest stand that we can. And in that sense, that's where I'm going. And you know, it might be, I'll pick on brother, whoever you are, Brother Johnson, move around. And it might be they, in Tennessee, couldn't do something. Maybe they feel like now they can do it here. And then they move to California. I hope that's not your next place. But, okay. And maybe they can't do it. You know, there are things that maybe sometimes you can do in one place and have a conscience, but you can't do it. And that sounds a little hip. No, it's charity. It's forbearance. It's lack of confusion. It's to the glory of God. Do you understand where I'm trying to teach tonight? It doesn't mean compromise. I would never go lower than my bottom conviction. Amen? But I'm also not going to force somebody to drop their convictions to what they perceive as my low convictions. I'm going to move up to theirs if I would have fellowship with them as a general whole. So should I do it? We've got two more sets of these to go. They just get better as we go along. And I am purposely teaching this because we have to make decisions every day. We live in this world. And we have to decide, am I going to live by this legalistic? I'm going to make a mistake? It's really a lot about submission to God, wanting to do what's right, being a help, my testimony, the benefit of the person around me, the glory of God. Those things are the bottom lines of all, whether it's right or wrong. And if we don't have that attitude to begin with, we're not going to get there anyhow. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, may you help us to have your guidance and a perfect peace in our mind as we strive to really live lives that are just pleasing to you at the end of our days. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to have a clear leading of your Holy Spirit. And then, Father, to not go outside of that. In Jesus' name.